So expect. Expect. What are you expecting? Get in the Word of God and let the Word of God set your expectations. Amen. Praise God. Well, this series, Decisions Determine Our Destinations, and we've talked about the fact that our decisions really do determine our destinations in this world, in this life, and throughout eternity. God has given us, every man, evil, good, whatever, He's given them all a free will. And He protects, He honors our decisions. He honors the free will of it. Do you know why he honors and He protects our right to choose? Do you know, have any idea? God has begun to unfold, and I've been believing Him for more light on this. But before Jesus went to the cross, we didn't have a choice, did we? No, we were in bondage. We were born in sin, and we were in bondage to sin. We were under the dominion of sin. We were under the dominion of darkness. God has placed the same value, or even greater, on your right to choose, to decide to do something. He has placed it on equal value with the blood of Jesus, because that blood bought you back your choice. Guaranteed it. I'm going to go into that more 2 weeks from now on Communion Sunday, and it's going to open up to you when we drink that juice, when we eat that bread, what we are partaking of. I'll tell you something. God has bought such freedom for you and me. Amen. And, He'll honor. He will continue to honor our free will and our choices, even if it is, even if He knows it's going to work out bad for you. He will protect your right to choose. He will protect people's right to choose hell, because it's valuable. You know why? And here's a third reason why. It's because when the worst, gutter-ridden, lost, broken, miserable soul comes to Jesus and says, "Lord, I believe You rose from the dead. I believe You died for me. I believe that You have paid for my sins. And I realize that my life, I've been paying for my sin the whole time. And I'm on my way to paying my sin for eternity, which is hell. Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I choose You. I choose to be faithful to You. I choose to honor You. I choose to walk with You and in Your word for the rest of my life." And when He does that, the minute that He makes that decision, He becomes the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen? That's why your choice is so valuable to Him, and that's why He protects it. Praise God. When a hardened, stony rock of a heart starts to moisten and soften towards Him, I'll tell you something, He doesn't take that lightly. He's waiting for that. He loves that. He gets all over that. Start your day off every day with softening it towards God. Say, "I will hear Your voice today, Father. I will hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. I will be motivated by and inspired by the Holy Spirit, and I will set my expectations higher than I can even ask or think, because You are the author of it all. Thank You, Father." Well, go with me in the scriptures to Matthew chapter 7. And before we read, let's take out our confession here on the back of our bulletins. Everybody have a bulletin? And let's read this together. Ready, read. "Father, Jesus said that my decisions determine my destination. I also acknowledge that You have given me the authority to determine my future by the decisions I make, the words I speak, and by doing the word of God. I am a doer of the word, and therefore my destinations in life will be blessed, free of sorrow, and filled with joy. My eternal destination will be beyond anything I can imagine because your love has seen to all that concerns me. I enter the gate that seems narrow to the world but is liberating to me, and I walk continually toward the amazing rewards that await me in Jesus' name. Amen. Take that out and read it a few times a day. Confess it with your mouth. Hear yourself saying it. When you hear yourself saying it, faith comes. It's good. So in Matthew chapter 7, you know, when we read the scriptures, we're coming into the presence of God because the word is God, right? So let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. So we, you know, when God speaks, folks, creation happens. When God speaks, the impossible becomes possible. The confusion goes and faith comes. Amen. And you can clearly see the reality of the new creation, the reality of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the reality of his word. Suddenly, and as you start to hear his voice and hear his word, suddenly this word becomes the mirror of your spirit and see who you really are in the spirit, and it comes alive for you. Amen. So Jesus, who is God, who is the word manifest in the flesh, Jesus is speaking here. And he says, enter through, in verse 13, he says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and spacious and broad is the way that leads away to destruction. And many are those who are entering through it. But the gate is narrow, contracted by pressure, and the way is straitened and compressed that leads away to life. And few are they that find it. Wow. You know, it just occurs to me now that the wide gate and the broad, spacious way, there's no resistance. It's just go with the flow and everything. But most of the wide gates in life are made up of nothing more than excuses. And when you make excuses, you know what excuses come because you are trying to raise an argument for why you're doing what you know is wrong. That's what an excuse is. Amen. Yes. That's good. Am I wrong? All right. If you can agree with me, say amen to that, because I'll tell you something. This is the truth. I mean, if it was right, why would you need to make an excuse or justify it? You wouldn't. And I think a lot of us would like to take back a lot of the decisions we've made in the past, including me. There, I've said it, okay? I've made a mistake in the past. I have sinned. And so have you. All of us have sinned. And all of us are in that same boat. But God didn't leave us there. He brought us out of that, cleansed us, clean as a whistle. And now you're his. Well, according to Jesus here, there are two possible gates to go through, life and death. Those are the gates and the destinations. There's two possible destinations, destruction or life and blessing. Amen? And so two possible gates, two possible destinations, and many and few. Many are they who are entering through the wide gate. All the time. You know, that's a process. There's a huge distinction Jesus is making here. Many are entering the wide gate, but few there be that find the narrow gate. The narrow gate requires some finding, seeking on your part, knocking. It just doesn't happen automatically. You know, if just take a breath here, if we look at our decisions from that standpoint, that there are only two gates, two destinations, it'll make our decision-making process a lot easier. And we will be able to, and the destinations that each of our decisions lead to will become more obvious to us. Isn't that right? Amen. Many and few. You know, someone said the majority is always right. If you got that thought, my brother and sister, you got another thought coming. Because the majority isn't always right. In fact, the majority is seldom right. If the majority was right, Hillary Clinton would have won the last election. That's the genius of the Electoral College. Because when it goes one way too far, the Electoral College kicks in and boom, we have a winner in the White House now. None of that corruption would have come out. We would be a socialist state. And they would be running our utilities, our health insurance, with no competition, no nothing, nothing. We're at their mercy. So, really, the majority, look at Joshua and Caleb, the story of Joshua and Caleb. You remember that? When Moses sent 12 spies into the land to spy it out before they entered into the promised land. And 10 spies came back with an evil report saying, there are giants in the land, we can't take it, you know. And Joshua and Caleb said, wait a second, the Lord is with us, they are bread for us, their defenses are departed, and we're well able to take the land. Well, all of Israel believed the 10 spies, and the only two spies that came out with an evil report were the only two that ever entered into the promised land of that whole bunch. Everybody else died in the wilderness. They were the only two. So you can't go with the majority, can't go with the flow and expect the blessings of God. You can't have the blessing of Abraham with Thomas's faith, can you? Well, I'm going by what I see, unless I see the nails. Israel said, I see the giants. They believe the evil report. Joshua and Caleb said, yeah, there's giants in there. Of course there are. There are problems in this world. There are giants coming against you now. And most of those things are attacks in your mind that the devil has come at you with. And you believe the evil report or the good report? God's on my side. He will not allow me. His love is in me. Love never fails. I will never fail. I walk in love. I am guarded. I put on the armor of God. I protect my thoughts with the helmet of salvation. I know where I'm going, devil. Get out of here. Take those thoughts and throw them away. Amen. So today, as we continue the series, Decisions, Determine Destinations, I want to talk this morning about declaring the outcome from the outset. Amen? Declare the outcome from the outset. What is that? That's declaring the end from the beginning. That's declaring the Omega from the Alpha. It's declaring. We have a lot more to do with that outcome than we might be aware of. And it all starts with following and doing the Word of God. So if you're looking for answers about faith, answers about the way God works and moves, answers about how to work with God, how to operate with God, understanding about bad things that maybe happened to you in your past that have slanted your image of God, that have skewed it and made it something that you question God, then this will make things a lot clearer to you, because this is where the rubber meets the road regarding all of it. This is how we access and activate our covenant with God. Turn with me to Isaiah 46, verse 9. It says this, God, Isaiah is prophesying, God is speaking through him, and he says, remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning. What does God do? He declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish my good pleasure. Now, without taking too much time here, I want to say that God is a God who declares the end from the beginning, and it's going to happen. Amen. Amen. God declares the end from the beginning, and his counsel will stand. And his counsel is his word. God's own word is his counsel, and he will never depart from it. God declares the end from the beginning. When God blessed Adam and Eve, he put a blessing on them. They sinned. The blessing departed. He put his blessing on Noah. Noah got drunk. And it petered down through the ages. And then God blessed Abraham. And the blessing was passed to Isaac and to Jacob and traveled down through, kind of petered out through Judah. But then all of a sudden, Jesus appears on the scene, and what does he start talking? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst. Blessed. This is, and he's telling us how to walk in the blessing. The blessing is a powerful thing, but you got to choose it. The blessing of God is the empowerment. It is an all-inclusive, supernatural empowerment on the believer. And when we are born again, the blessing is imparted, but you need to know how to walk in it. Because you still have a flesh, and you need to renew your mind to that blessing. And one of the blessings is the ability to declare your future, the ability to declare the outcome from the outset, the ability to declare God's blessing, and that you're moving always towards more and more blessing, increase and increase and increase. That is what has been given to you. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. I didn't make a note of this, but I'm going to do it anyhow. Where's my Bible, darling? Can you go in my briefcase and my big black Bible? Yeah. It's in my briefcase. Might take her a minute to get it. While she's getting that, let me go over some things. When we come into agreement with his word, we are coming into agreement with his will. When we are coming into agreement with his word, we are establishing that blessing in our life. Thank you, darling. In Genesis chapter 1, that's pretty easy to find. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, what does it say? And God said, let there be light. In verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament. In verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place. Verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass. Verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament. Verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things. In verse 26, and God said, let us make man after our image, in our image and after our likeness. In verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed. In verse 31, it says, and God saw. What did God see? He saw what he said. He saw exactly what he said. You and I are created in the image and likeness of God. And if God operates this way, we operate this way. And your life and my life is the sum total of the words we said yesterday. Now, that may not sound like really good news, but it really is good news. Because if your words are the ones that got you where you are now, then you can change your words and you can have a whole different outcome from the outset today. That's really good. Amen? Woo! Glory! I'm telling you something. I just got happy. Whoa! What did God see? He saw darkness. He said, light! You see a problem, you start agreeing with it. Say, yeah, you know, oh, what's going to happen now? Don't agree with it. Jesus never agreed with one problem. He always spoke the answer. He always had the answer. It always spoke the answer. They came to Jairus and said, don't bother him anymore. Your daughter's dead. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. Only believe. He wouldn't accept failure. He wouldn't accept death. I mean, he goes to a funeral. Everybody comes back to life. So why is that? Because in him was life. And the life was the light of men. His life is your light. We're getting into this. The anointing just arrived here. God saw what he said, but he had to say it before he saw it. He already saw it in here, in his spirit, in the council of the living God, where the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit formed this whole thing. And boom, it came out of his mouth. Light be! And light was, and it created. I'll tell you something. Every atom that is still being multiplied in this universe, in a universe that's expanding at the speed of light, every atom is being created by that one word. And God has a better word than that for you because you're his son and daughter. Don't agree with the problems. Don't speak the problems. Speak his word. And the world will go forth, and the word is creative power. It will create a future for you that is filled with light, filled with love, filled with blessing, filled with God's attributes, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. You won't have to try to fulfill a law to please God. No, you're already pleasing God, so you can walk in the power above that thing that the law was designed to do, make sin obvious in your life. So if it's obvious, confess it and you're forgiven. Even my lightning fast mind can figure that out. That's good. God loves you. God wants you to walk in wholeness, forgiveness, mercy. He wants you to walk in the fullness of his spirit. But this is the pattern that was established from the very beginning, and his DNA is in every particle in this universe, and his DNA is in you. Mm. Oh, praise God. You know, go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Let me show you this. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. This should be pretty obvious. How do you imitate God? Well, you say what he said. You love the way he loves. You base your joy not on how you feel, but on what his word promises to you. You have been given the peace of God. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives. It doesn't disappear. It doesn't fade away with time. It's above time. Time doesn't affect it. It is just as strong now as when Jesus said, peace I give to you, not as the world gives, give I to you. So be imitators of God. We were created in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, we can imitate him. How did God operate? Through his word. You operate through your words. When you speak words of faith, words of blessing, this is why Jesus said, don't bless those who curse you. Why? Because when you curse them back, they are empowering you. That curse is empowering you. You're agreeing with the curse. But when you bless it, you're not only covering them, but you're rising up above it in the blessing of God, and that's where God is. That's the supernatural power of his blessing. You can imitate him. And when you do, you receive all that he is and all that he's already given. This is the truth. You have not only the right, but the authorization to declare your outcome from the outset. Does that mean you're not going to have problems along the way? No, you will meet with plenty of resistance. There's no resistance in the wide gate. There's plenty of resistance, and you have to find it. Go through the narrow gate. Don't make excuses. Excuses are not good. I'll just say it that way. Oh, there are examples after example after example after example all through the Bible about people who, acting like God, got the end that they declared from the beginning. In the story of David and Goliath, this is a good one. Declare the outcome from the outset. Here's what David did. Then David said to the Philistine, that's Goliath he's talking to, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." By the way, Lord of hosts, that means Lord of armies. Armies of heaven and earth. "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." He was talking to Goliath. Goliath was twice his height. You know, and then it says, after he said this, then he ran towards Goliath. He was so filled with faith and confidence and expectation of good that he ran out to Goliath, took that stone like this, okay, he bam! Ben Crouch said, Goliath said, "This never entered into my mind before," and Goliath had to Goliath down. Then David took Goliath's own sword and cut off his head. Sword represents the word. And the words that he was speaking in defiance of God, in defiance of the armies of God, having no respect for the covenants of God or God in his person, took that sword, Goliath's own words, and cut off his head with it. And then he brought it back with him. He brought the head back with him. And the armor of Goliath was given to him too. How did David get this kind of faith? How did it get? Well, when he was in the back 40 guarding those few sheep that his father had, when he was watching over the sheep, he was meditating day and night in the Word of God. He was writing songs, blessing, blessing, blessing. Look at Psalm 1 in your Bibles here. The very first psalm, you can tell that David was in expectation, as we've heard so much of today. Thanks, Kelly. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." The law is the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus. What was he meditating on? How God created the universe, how he was created in the image and likeness of God, that he had a covenant with God, that the blessing of Abraham was coming on him. All these things he was meditating on and meditating, filling himself with the word of the living God. And that word was going and empowering him, changing his mind. And he could see himself. He could see the end from the beginning. And he declared the end from the beginning. And bless God, he did it. Woo! When you're filled with the word of God, the testimony of Jesus, you are filled with a self-fulfilling word. All you got, speak it. Speak it. Speak it. And don't let fear enter into your mind. The words of faith will destroy the fear. The words of faith will destroy the apprehension. And that... Jesus operated this way too. Look at Mark chapter 4. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." And when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. You've got to take God as he is. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the pillow. And they awoke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we perish, that we are perishing?" And then he arose and rebuked the winds and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared him exceedingly. How is it that you have no faith? And they said to one another, "How can this be that even the wind and sea obey him?" Do you know that F.F. Bosworth, 9 different voyages across the Atlantic in his ministry, came against storms that were threatening the ship he was on? And 9 times he spoke to the sea And nine times the thing became still. Nine times. It's not, you say, this is the Son of God. Of course that happened. No, that's happened to many other people too. F.F. Bosworth chronicled it, and he wrote a book called Christ the Healer, in a time when it was very popular to believe that God gives us sickness to teach us stuff. But he refutes it all with the Word of God. Sometime I will go into Job's thorn, or Paul's thorn, or Job, and what happened to Job. Sometime I'm going to do a teaching on that soon. But when you find out the problems that exist, the root of every evil thing is Satan, not God. Right. I'm going to do it. Here's more. Look, turn over a page to Mark chapter 5. And let's go to verse 25. And there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and who had endured much suffering at the hands of all her physicians, many physicians, and had spent all that she had and was no better, but instead grew worse. Is that common? People going to the doctor and going to the doctor and they, you know, do what all doctors do. Here, take this, do this, take this, take this. And they deal with symptoms. They never deal with the root. And so what happens? It gets worse. The prescriptions get stronger. Verse 27. And she heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. For she kept saying, see, this is something that we've got to understand. Where is she came up behind, verse 28, for she kept saying, this is a continual flow of words. She kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. And immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source. And suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. Then it says, Jesus, recognizing in himself the power that proceeded from him, had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And disciples kept saying, you see the crowd pressing you and you're asking from all sides and you ask who touched me? In other words, they couldn't tell. But he could tell. See, here's the principle. She, number one is verse 27. She heard the reports concerning Jesus, right? She heard the reports. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When she heard that, the word faith came. And how did she respond to that faith? How did she receive and activate and absorb? How did she operate in that faith? She kept, verse 28, she kept saying what she believed. She started to agree with the spirit of the testimony, the spirit of Christ, with the testimony of Christ, which was faith. And as she continually said, if I can touch but his clothes, I will be healed. If I can touch his clothes, if I can touch the hem of his garment, if I can touch him, I will be healed. If I can, and what she is doing is she is teaching herself the way of faith. She just scooted right in there. And when she touched him, boom, he felt it. She felt it. She knew immediately that she was whole. And then he began to look around. And then his eyes fell on her. And she came and told him all the truth. She was building that into her heart. She began to see it in her heart. She began to say it and say it and say it. What did she say? She saw, she received what she said. You receive what she said was her faith speaking. What you say is your faith speaking. Say that. What I say is my faith speaking.
What I say is my faith speaking.
What she said is her faith speaking. And Jesus honors faith. You know, Rick Renner one time was called, when he lived in Tulsa, he was called to see this person who was very, very, very sick. And when he got, he had been on a 40-day fast at the time, by the way. And if you not familiar with Rick Renner, he wrote Sparkling Gems of the Greek. He has two volumes out, and it goes into the Greek meanings. It's an excellent book. But he'd been fasting and praying, seeking the Lord. And you know, it says if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be satisfied. You'll be filled. Well, he was called to this house, and when he got there was a number of other ministers there. And so he just very politely, and these people had seniority over him. These guys were wise beyond their years, and they were much older than him. But he was called there, and so they finally got him in to see the guy who was sick. And the moment he touched him, he felt this thing leave him, and immediately the guy was healed. That's what Jesus felt. And he knew it. That scripture just came to him like this. As soon as it happened, virtue came out of it. It says, and that word virtue is dunamis. It's word miracle working power of God. Faith always comes, but faith isn't always received. You've got to accept it, let it build its image, and keep speaking. Keep speaking faith. Keep speaking your faith. Keep speaking the answer to the problem. Keep speaking the desired result. Don't agree with the problem. Don't speak the problem. Speak the answer. I mean, if you have a choice, why agree with something that's going to bring you down? If you agree on anything on earth, it shall be done to you, the Bible says. Don't agree with the problem. Agree with the word of God, which is the answer to the problem, which is the solution, which is the cure to the disease. From the source. It dried up at the source. These are answers. Things will become very clear to you when you realize who you are in Christ, when your identity in Christ, and you see that you're able to do the same things as Jesus did. That may shock you. Does that shock you? I can do what Jesus did? You can't say it like that. But when you say, whoa, I can do what Jesus did. Why? Because he said so. He said, whoever believes in me, the things that I do shall he do also, and greater things than these shall he do, because I go to the Father. You have agreement in heaven all the time working for you. When you agree with it here on the earth, it releases more power in you than any atom bomb we ever set off. It will heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. It'll bring finances when you need it. We know this. Oh, praise God. Whoo! Call the outcome from the outset. Call the end. Declare the end from the beginning. Do you know the first chapter of Genesis outlines God's plan for the 6,000 years of human history that we know of? It's all in there. That's another discussion for another time. Faith always comes, but faith isn't always received. You need to speak it. You need to say it. You need to agree with it. You need to walk it out. Have its way in you. I know it's difficult sometimes to identify with people in the Bible, like this woman or David, because just the fact that they're in the Bible makes them somehow superhuman. No, there's no difference between them and you. There's no difference between people that lived back then than live now. The same problems harass them that harass people now. Why? Because it's the same devil who's lying to all of them. And he doesn't have that much imagination. He's not that creative. What he does is he works at the same thing all the time. It's the same problems. Every marriage that Lori and I have ever counseled, it's the same problems all the time. All the time, just a different couple. All the kids that I've talked to, it's the same problems that all the kids have. And the devil just does it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Well, you have the ability to take his word and say it over and over and over and over and overcome him. And say, get out of here in the name of Jesus. Mind, I'm talking to you. Be renewed in the name of Jesus. Comply, agree with the word of God. Mind, I'm talking. You're my mind, not the devil's. You're my mind, and I declare that you will be filled with the thoughts of God. I will think like he thinks. I will act like he acts. I will do what he does. You have that right, and you have been authorized to do that. You know, let me say this as kindly as I can, but you are the sum total of your talking yesterday. Dave Ingles wrote a song years ago. Say, I don't sing those songs anymore. That's what he said. I don't sing those songs anymore, like Born to Lose and Of the Life Before. Don't think it's not important what you say, cause today you're the total of your talking yesterday. I said that to a nursing home right now, and they're all sitting there with wheelchairs and everything, and they're going, I'd say every one of you in the condition you're in right now is because you've said it. And again, I'll say it, that may not sound like good news, but if you're the one who did it, you're the one that can get you out. Change your words. Agree with the living word of God, and it won't take long. Devil say, oh, that's hard. You can't do that. No. His way produces what's hard in your life, and it keeps you under. God's word will always, always liberate you because it is pure truth. It'll empower you with more power than the devil ever dreamed about. So put that as kindly as possible. Take responsibility for it. Ask God for forgiveness for being your own worst enemy. I'm talking to myself here too, guys, okay? And because we all have those times where we have attitudes. Don't we? We do. Well, you can be freed and forgiven from a bad attitude. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2 says this. You are snared by the devil. No. You are snared by the words of some what everybody says about you. No, you're snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Some of you have spoken the words of the devil, the enemy, and those words have been holding you in bondage all this time. And you have just as much right to speak God's word and liberate yourself from that. Say, here's the truth concerning me. This may take some renewal. It may take some work. This is the work of God that you believe on him whom he sent. What did he say? I am he. I am the one who created all of this. I am the word of God. Speak me and you will have the answer you need. Proverbs 18 verse 20 and 21 says this. A man's stomach. This is regarding your appetites, emotional appetites, physical appetites. A man's stomach shall be satisfied by what? Your words are like seed, and they will produce fruit after their own kind, according to the perfect law of Genesis. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, or in the authority of the tongue. And those who love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You have the authority over your own tongue. God gave you that authority. And that authority, this is declaring the outcome from the outset. You want a new outcome? Declare a new word. God's new word is new and fresh every single day. His mercies are new every day. His covenant is just as powerful and strong now as the day that it was ratified in the blood of Jesus. Time can't tarnish it. It doesn't have any power against it. Decisions to speak the word of God instead of speaking the problem and continuing and agreeing with it is the decision to go through the narrow gate, to find it, and to apply it and activate the covenant that was established to empower you, the covenant that was established to bring you over, the covenant that was established in order for God to have his joy inside of you, to share in his love and fellowship and walk with him like Jesus did. Let the world have their problems. We speak of a new world that is the answer to all problems. Amen? Praise God. We're blessed today, aren't we? Yeah. We're blessed today. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we come to you. We thank you, Father, for your word. I ask, Father, that this word would take root, that this word would begin to go inside of us and germinate and attach to our spirit man the life, the blessing, the power of the living God. You said in your word that we have the right to speak your word, and your word is your word no matter who's speaking it. We choose to speak the words of life. We choose to speak the words of blessing. We choose to forgive and walk above the offense of this world. We choose to love the kind of love that will cause us to always be victorious, not because that we'll get our way, but because your presence will be made manifest because we walk in love. And you will never fail us. You will never leave us. And your love will never cause us to fail. I ask, Father, for a renewal of all of our minds, that we can understand the things that we've never been able to understand and hold on to the attitudes that we've been holding on to. Free us from those. And they haven't done us any good. And we assess it, we judge it, we ask for your forgiveness, we judge ourselves. And you said if we judge ourselves, we will not be judged. Forgive us for the wrong words we've spoken over others and ourselves. And Lord, as impossible as it seems to forgive those who have hurt us, we know that with you, all things are possible. And new doors will open up that we haven't seen before because we haven't found them because they're narrow. But now they're becoming very obvious and open to us. And Lord, we will go through that narrow gate and we will experience the wide blessings of God, the powerful truth and liberating light that comes from you only. We don't seek the honor of people. We seek the honor that comes from you. So that we'll hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with little." The little he asks us to do is love. He said it 2,000 years ago, "Love one another as I have loved you," and we haven't done it yet. Forgive us. Help us to embrace that narrow life, that narrow gate that leads to life and blessing. Father, we'll walk big in it today and throughout the rest of the week and throughout the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed. If you want prayer for anything, come and get it because it's hot off the wire here. It's good. And God will answer your prayers. Amen. You are dismissed. There's refreshments in the back.